Now, a very, very warm welcome to everyone that's come tonight. It is good to see you. It's good to see the hall so well filled. I don't know whether it's a bit like the wedding, you know, when the bride's mother takes off her hat, then that gives everybody else the opportunity to take off their hat. So the preacher's got off his jacket, so if you're feeling a bit warm and you want to take off your jacket, then just feel free to do so. I've taken the lead in relation to that. So it's good to see you, and just on behalf of the Christians who meet here, we just want to give you a very special welcome. It's tremendously encouraging for the little company of believers who meet here, just to see the hall so well filled night after night. It's a great encouragement. It's good to see folks that have travelled the distance, some from Drecon, some from Kilwinning, and of course some from the locality as well. And we just want to welcome everyone tonight. And if you're here in the wee hall for the first time, then we give you a special welcome. We trust that you'll feel at home among us. And we do really pray that the Lord would make his presence really felt among us tonight, and that the Lord would speak to our hearts tonight as he's spoken to our hearts in the nights gone past. Now, these meetings will continue throughout the rest of this week, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, again at the same time, 8 o'clock. There'll be no meeting on Friday, no meeting on Saturday, but in the will of God, we'll commence again on Sunday, and we'll be right through the week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. So we give you a welcome tonight, and we give you an invitation just to join with us as often as you can. And as we said last night, if you can encourage others to come, particularly unsaved friends or relatives or neighbours, then we would be glad to welcome them as well. Now, I just want to read again in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. Someone was asking me today if the meetings were going to finish when we got to the end of Mark's Gospel. Well, if God really moves in salvation, I'll be quite happy to preach right to the end of Mark's Gospel. We're still in chapter 1. I think we're averaging about 4 verses a night, as the Lord would give help, and we'll just keep preaching as God would help us night by night. Mark chapter 1, and we're still in the synagogue, so we're again at verse number 21, and we'll read down through to verse number 28. Mark chapter 1, 28, and it says, "They went," that is the disciples and the Lord Jesus, "they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue, and he taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God.' Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Hold your peace and come out of him.' And when the unclean spirit had torn him, and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, 'What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commanded he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region round about Galilee." And we look to the Lord for help tonight as we would seek to preach the gospel of his grace. We noticed last night the tremendous scene that must have taken place in the synagogue that particular day in Capernaum, when the one who was the very author of Scripture took a portion of Scripture into his hand and he read it and he expounded it. We thought of the electrified atmosphere. We thought of the tremendous impact and power with which the Lord Jesus Christ would preach, preaching with authority and not as the scribes. We think of those scribes that Sabbath day after Sabbath day, they would sit there and they would open the Scriptures and the message would be dull and boring and dead and lifeless. But this day it was different. This man that had no letters, he'd never been to any college or any university. He'd never been to any of the rabbinical schools of his day. He was just a peasant carpenter from Nazareth. And yet he stood with the Holy Scriptures in his hands and he read it with power and feeling and tenderness. And as the people listened, they felt the convicting power of God in their own souls. As this one that was the very, not only the author of the Scriptures, but the subject of the Scriptures, he spoke about the things that concerned himself. And no doubt brought to his hearers that day the very purpose why he, the Son of God, had come into the world. That he'd come to save sinners. He'd come to deliver men and women from the bondage and slavery of sin. And the Lord Jesus preached his sermon that day. And his lips fell silent. And men and women were left to make decisions about what Christ said. We tried to picture the scene last night as at the end of the synagogue service, they would all go into the little cliques and they would all discuss what they'd heard. And they would speak about their astonishment and their wonderment at this man, this peasant from Nazareth, speaking with such authority.
And they were astonished, and they questioned among themselves, well, what thing is this? What new teaching is this? And there was just that about this particular man and his message that they just couldn't understand. And they discussed it and they questioned it. But the sad thing is, as far as the bulk of the people of Capernaum were concerned, they got no further than that. Well, there might have been some of them that enjoyed the message. There might have been some that were touched by the message. There might have been some that were challenged by the message. But it went no further. Because we notice that later on in his ministry, the Lord Jesus says concerning Capernaum, O Capernaum, you've been exalted to the heavens, but you're going to be cast down to hell. Because they listened to the words of Christ. They heard the tender appeal of the Lord Jesus, and they discussed what he said and how he said it, but it went no further. And they might have enjoyed his message. They might have been challenged, but they never trusted him. They never received him. They rejected him in their hearts. And although they'd been exalted to heaven by privilege, they were cast into hell because of unbelief. Because of unbelief. Oh, my friend, I tell you, what a privilege for the people of Newcomer in the district tonight to hear again the searching preaching of the Word of God. To have the Holy Scriptures read in your hearing, to be exalted to heaven with privilege. And I don't know what you felt last night when you listened. And I don't know what you'll feel tonight when you listen. You might say at the end of the meeting, well, I enjoyed that. Or that challenged me. That touched me. I wonder, my friend, if is it going to go further than that in your experience? Because it touched these people. It challenged these people. It convicted these people. But it went no further. And they never received him. They rejected Christ. And because of that, they would plunge the day they died into the depths of a lost sinner's hell. Oh, my friend, you've been exalted to heaven, man. You've been exalted up to heaven with privilege. You're hearing the Word of God read and preached in your hearing. I trust at the end of the meeting that you don't just say that was a good message. I trust you don't say that challenged me. I trust tonight, my friend, that you'll embrace Christ as your personal Savior, that you'll receive him, and therefore be ready for heaven, and ready for home, for eternity. And we thought of the authority that the Lord Jesus had as he expounded the Holy Scriptures of truth. But we notice the Lord Jesus Christ, as he moved into the synagogue that day, not only did his preaching astonish men, but we notice that his presence exposed men. His presence exposed men. It says in the synagogue that day there was a man that had an unclean spirit. An unclean spirit. He was a man in the synagogue, and he was overcome with a power that he couldn't break. It was the power of uncleanness. The power of sin was rampant and raging in his experience. I suppose it would really manifest itself in the things that he did. It would manifest itself in the way that he spoke. It would manifest itself in the things that he thought. He was a man that was overcome with uncleanness, a spirit of uncleanness. The power of uncleanness had gripped hold of him. And it was manifest in every department of his life. Maybe he was living a life of immorality. Maybe that's where the spirit had taken him. Maybe his speech was a speech that was full of innuendos and filth and uncleanness and jokes that were blue. Maybe the things that he read and the things that he feasted his eyes upon was all the filth and the corruption and the uncleanness of the world. He was overcome by the spirit of uncleanness. He was empowered by it. The Bible says concerning men and women today that we're all as an unclean thing. And all the righteousness is the very best that we can muster is just like filthy rags in the sight of God. This man was demon possessed. And I believe that demon possession is something that is rife in our current society. But I believe that every one of us, if we're not demon possessed, we've certainly been overtaken by a power that we can't break. It's the power of sin. And sin is an unclean thing. And that's one of the things that marks our day, isn't it? We're living in a day when filth is popularized. We're living in a day when immorality is boasted about. We're living in a day when blue jokes are the order of the day. We're living in a day when 90-odd% of the use of the internet is to watch filth. The spirit of uncleanness has gripped our society. And it's manifest every day that we live in the lives of men and women. And here's this man. And he's in the synagogue and he's gripped by the power of uncleanness. I wonder, my friend, are you gripped tonight with the power of uncleanness? Just want you to think about your life tonight. Just want you just to roll back the hours of the day. Just think about your language. Think about the things that you've been reading and feasting your mind on. Think about your behaviour in the quietness of your own home, the secrecy of your own home. Just think about all the thoughts that have been in your mind today. You think you would be able to hold your head up tonight? If everything you'd said and did and thought today was all portrayed in a screen behind me? Do you think your head would still be up? My friend, I tell you, every one of our heads would be bowed in shame in it. Tremendous feelings of guilt would grip our souls if every impure thought was revealed tonight. If every unclean word was made manifest. If all our behaviour in the secret of our home was all shown before us. The spirit of uncleanness. I wonder, my friend, have you ever faced up to the uncleanness of your life, the impurity of your life, the sin of your life? The sad thing is that men and women are not only sinners, but men and women today take pleasure in their sin, and they boast about their sin, and they rejoice in their sin. Oh, that God tonight would impress upon men's hearts and young people's hearts the absolute corruptness, the uncleanness, the defiling influence of sin in their lives. The Bible speaks to Paul as he writes to the Romans. He speaks about men who had yielded their members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity. Does that not just sum up life today? Does that not just sum up our society? Men and women that are given over every member of their body to uncleanness. Things that they do with their hands, the places they go with their feet, the things they say with their lips, the things they look upon with their eyes, giving themselves over, every member of their body, given over to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity. It's abounding. Sin and uncleanness abound in every part of our society today. In fact, Paul tells us something else. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 1 that we're giving men over to uncleanness. That's where we are tonight in Great Britain. That's where we are in Bonnie Scotland. We're living in a society that has been given over by God to uncleanness. Why did God give them over to uncleanness? Because they refused to worship Him. They refused to praise Him. They refused to give Him His proper place in their lives. And God just gave them over to what they wanted. My friend, that's serious, isn't it? To think that God will give you what you want. My friend, if you want your sin, God will give you. If you want a life of immorality, then God will give you over it. Given over to uncleanness. The spirit of uncleanness has gripped our age. It's gripped the lives of men and women and young folks all over the Shire. But I know it's not only what the man had. He had this spirit of uncleanness. I know it's where the man was. This man was in the synagogue. This man was in the house of God. This man was sitting in the place where God's word was read. And yet within his heart there was a spirit of uncleanness. You see, you go through the Gospels and you discover there was various people that had unclean spirits. There was a man from a place called Gadara, and he had an unclean spirit, but he was out there in the cemetery living among the dead.
He was a self-harmer. He was cutting himself with stones. He was a raging lunatic. And there he was, away in that distant place. And among the tombs with an unclean spirit. But not the man in Mark chapter 1. The man with the unclean spirit in Mark chapter 1 was right in the synagogue, right in the house of God. See, the Bible says there's no difference. All of sin and come short of the glory of God. Isaiah says we're all as an unclean thing. Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you're here, and I don't know why you're here, but maybe you think this message is for somebody else. Maybe you think this message of the gospel, this message of forgiveness and cleansing, maybe you think it's for the drug addicts and it's for the drunkards and it's for the wife beaters and it's for the adulterers. Yes, it is for them. But it's for you. Because the need of every man is just the same. You might take your place in your pew every Sunday morning. Whether it's the Church of Scotland or the Gospel Hall or the Baptist or the Evangelical or whatever it is. But my friend, you might be sitting there and you might be like this man with an unclean spirit. And you try to mask it. You try to cover up what you are with a robe of righteousness, a robe of religion. But you see, when Christ came in, it was all exposed. When Christ came in, it was all exposed. You see, there might even been times when this very man took the Old Testament scriptures in his hand and read them. There might have been times when he participated in the public prayers. And there he was in the synagogue with an unclean spirit. And it remained undetected until Christ came in. You see, if the preaching of the Lord Jesus astonished men, the presence of the Lord Jesus exposed them. The Lord Jesus didn't say a word to this man. The Lord Jesus just came in. What was in the man's heart was just exposed. Well, that's what we're praying tonight. That the Lord would just expose our hearts in his presence. I noticed that the minute Christ came in, he recognised them. He recognised them. He says, we know who you are. The Holy One of God. The Holy One of God. You can almost see the man trembling. As far as the other folks in the synagogue were concerned, well, it was just Jesus of Nazareth. It was just some strange peasant that had come into their company. The Holy One of God. The Holy One of God. Oh, my friend, I wonder tonight, have you grabbed the reality of who Christ is? He's the Holy One. The Holy One. You see, in the presence of the other members of the synagogue, this man felt all right. Felt quite comfortable. But the minute Christ came in, the minute the Holy One came in, he felt embarrassed. He felt ashamed. He felt convicted. He felt challenged. Maybe you feel like that. Maybe you feel like that and night's been passed. As long as you're out there jumping about with your mates. As long as you're sitting in your own home doing your own thing. And as long as you're among your own family, you feel okay. You come to a meeting like this. And there's just something about the atmosphere. And there's just something about the presence of God that really challenges you. And you just feel as if your whole life's just getting opened up before you. And you're just being exposed in all your sinfulness. And all your uncleanness. I noticed when Christ came in, he cried out. He cried out. He couldn't keep silent. Such was the conviction, such was the challenge, such was the exposure of his sin that he cried out. I tell you, what I'm really longing for is that we might have meetings when people are crying. You see, when God really moves in convicting power and God moves in saving power, I tell you, all the formality of our meetings just goes out the window. And so Jonathan Edwards years ago in America preached that sermon about sinners in the hands of an angry God, I tell you, there were people crying out all over that vast congregation. They were weeping and they were wailing and they were crying to God for mercy. Why? Because Edwards was a great preacher. They tell us he was a rotten preacher. Such was the sense of the presence of the Holy One of God. But men were exposed in all their sinfulness and they cried out. For mercy. Oh, that men and women tonight would cry out for God's mercy as their sin would be exposed before God. What was this man expecting? This man was really expecting divine judgment.
He was really expecting the rod of God's wrath to come upon him. He says, "Have you come to destroy us? Have you come to judge us? Have you come to pour out your anger upon us?"
You see, he realized that was what he deserved. I said, "That's what you deserve, tonight. That's what I deserve." That's how serious our sin is. It brings upon us God's anger, God's judgment, God's wrath. You see, we can't sin and just hope to get away with it. God is too righteous for that. God is too holy for that. And when the Lord Jesus Christ came into the synagogue that day and the spirit of uncleanness was exposed in the man, he cried out, he says, "I know who you are. Are you come to destroy us?" My friend, I'm glad that the Lord Jesus has come tonight not to destroy you. He's come to save you. He's come to deliver you. He's come to cleanse you. That's why his presence himself with us tonight. He doesn't come with a message of judgment. He comes with a message of forgiveness and cleansing. But you see, as far as this demon that controlled this man was concerned, he knew that judgment had already been pronounced upon every demon and all the forces of darkness and devil and Satan himself. And he was really saying, Holy One of God, are you come to destroy, are you come to carry out God's promise of judgment upon the powers of darkness? I think God has pronounced that judgment. Oh, God has pronounced judgment on Satan and all his demon forces. Praise God for that. Every demon force one day will be cast into the lake of fire and come under divine judgment for eternity. And Satan will be there with his minions forever. Praise God for that. God has pronounced judgment on Satan and his angels. But the same God has pronounced judgment on men and women and their sins. It is appointed unto man once to die, says the Bible. And after this, judgment. There is judgment. It's a little wonder the Bible says, because there is wrath, beware, beware. Flee to Christ for cleansing and forgiveness for your sins tonight. Because as a sinner, you're under divine judgment. It's promised. For Satan, there's no escape from that. From all the powers of darkness, the demon forces of hell, there's no escape from that. But there's an escape for you tonight. There's an escape for you as a poor sinner. Under God's condemnation, there's escape in Christ. There's forgiveness in Christ. There's deliverance in Christ. There's salvation in Christ. That's the message tonight. And this man says, "Have you come to destroy us?" Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ had come to destroy the works of the devil. There's coming a day when he'll destroy, when he'll cast the devil himself into the lake of fire, and he came to destroy his works. The Lord Jesus Christ did that at the cross. Did that at the cross. When the Lord Jesus died in dark Calvary, he struck a mortal, fatal blow to the evil one. A blow from which the enemy will never ever recover. And Satan's doom is sealed tonight. Satan's destiny is absolutely sure and his time is short. All because of Calvary. And because of Calvary, God, the Lord Jesus, not only has the power to cast the evil one into the depths of everlasting burnings, but because of Calvary, the Lord Jesus is able to deliver you from Satan's power and Satan's grip tonight. He's got the power to save your soul. He's got the power to forgive your sins. All because of Calvary. And the work that he accomplished on that center cross when he shed his blood for the cleansing of sinners. Oh, my friend, the Lord Jesus came not to destroy this man. He came to deliver him.
He came to save him. He came to set him free. He came to cleanse him. That's why he came.
That's why the Lord Jesus came into the world 2,000 years ago. He came to save poor sinners. He came to deliver them from this power and dominion of the evil one. And this man cried out in the presence. He cried out in the presence of God. I noticed that as the Lord Jesus rebuked that demon, as the Lord Jesus commanded him to come out, I noticed it said that the devil tore him. Cried out with a loud voice. You know what that tells me? That tells me that Satan will hold on to him right to the very last, right to the bitter end. Here's an individual coming into contact with the Lord Jesus. The one that has the power to cleanse him. The one that has the power to deliver him from the power of sin and uncleanness. And the Lord Jesus rebukes that spirit that's within him. He cries to him to come out. And that demon holds on to him and tears him, wrenches him as he leaves him. Oh, my friend, I want to tell you, we're engaged in spiritual warfare tonight. Christianity is not about a playground, it's about a battleground. There's battles going on right now for the souls and the lives of men and women and young people in the meeting. And up until this point, up until 20 to 9, this Monday evening, you've been held in the power of uncleanness, you've been held in the power of sin. You're a pawn in Satan's army. You're just where he wants you to be. You're in his lap, you're in his hand. He's played with you, he's ruined you, he's defiled you, he's corrupted you. And the Lord Jesus Christ has come to set you free. He's come to deliver you, he's come to cleanse you, he's come to make you anew. He's come to deliver you from the power of darkness and take you into his glorious kingdom. And right now there's a warfare, there's a struggle that's taking place within you tonight. The Lord Jesus is calling you. The Lord Jesus wants you to yield your all to him tonight. He wants you to trust him. He wants you to cry out to him for mercy. He wants you to ask him for his cleansing power to be made real in your life. To ask for his forgiveness. The Lord's available tonight. The glorious victor of Calvary is available for you to trust tonight. And he calls to you. And at the same time, that old enemy that has gripped your life for so long is seeking to hold on to you. And he doesn't want to let you go. And he's seeking to tear you. He's seeking to keep your life in his vice-like grip. Oh, my friend, tonight I plead with you. As the Lord Jesus appeals to you. As the Lord Jesus draws near to you. As the Lord Jesus calls to you tonight. My friend, yield to the call of Christ. Respond to his love. Thank him for loving you. Thank him for dying for you. And ask him tonight to take over your life. Ask him to reconcile to God. He's there, he's available, he's able to. But my friend, don't think it'll be easy. Don't think it'll be easy. Because the old devil does all that he can. Does all that he can to keep you where he is. And he'll seek to tear you. I tell you, I've seen that in the last 8 weeks, just down there in Cumber. I've seen individuals that have come close to trusting Christ. And I tell you, the old devil has just turned the screw on them. And he's just twisted their lives upside down overnight. And he's brought one distraction and does disturbance after another into their experience, and their whole life is in a turmoil. Why? Because he's tearing them. Doesn't he want to let them go? Praise God tonight for the loving Saviour. The patient Christ. He still waits tonight. He still appeals. He still calls. He's still available. Oh, that you would cry out to him tonight. Oh, that you would ask him to come into your life. Be your Saviour. Be your mighty deliverer. And cleanse you from with his precious, precious blood. What was the outcome of the whole story? Well, the outcome was something like this, that this man was changed. This man was changed. And the fame of the Lord Jesus, it spread about through all the region of Galilee. Oh, my friend, the man was changed. The power that bound him was broken. He was set free. His life was radically altered. And I tell you, my friend, when Christ really takes a grip of a person's life, I tell you, that person's life is changed. No longer gripped and controlled by the spirit of uncleanness, but filled with the spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit. His life was changed. And
And I'm living in days when so many people try to tell me that they're Christians and their life has never been changed. They're still jumping about doing the things that they always did. There's something wrong. This man, his life was different.
And when the Lord Jesus comes into a person's life and delivers them from the power of sin and uncleanness, their life is changed.
Don't tell me you're a Christian now. If you're still dabbling in the things that you've dabbled in for years, don't tell me you're a Christian, because you're not. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation, and the old things pass away, and everything becomes gloriously new. There's a change. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. There's got to be a change. The spirit of uncleanness is broken.
He no longer wants to dabble in the things that he dabbled in. He no longer wants to be influenced in things that he was influenced by. He wants to be yielded to Christ. He wants Christ to be everything in his life.
He wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he wants his life to be holy. He wants his life to be holy. No longer the spirit of uncleanness, but the spirit of holiness. Well, my friend, what about your life tonight? Your life is controlled either by the spirit of uncleanness, or it's controlled by the spirit of holiness. Where are you tonight? Maybe up until now you've been controlled by that spirit of uncleanness. My friend, you can cry out to Christ for cleansing, and he'll cleanse you tonight in his precious blood, and he'll fill you with the Holy Spirit, the spirit of holiness, and that spirit will control you and change you moment by moment and day by day. And I tell you, when people see the change, the fame of Christ will spread abroad. I tell you, you know what we're waiting for in these meetings? We're just waiting for God to start changing lives. For God to start changing lives. Just one here and one there, and the news is spreading abroad. Because I tell you, there's no greater testimony to the power of God than changed lives. Changed lives, I tell you, is far more powerful than all the preaching or the best of preachers. Just the power of the testimony of a changed life. And I tell you, the Lord Jesus is able tonight to change your life. Just as he changed this man's life and changed the lives of multitudes after him, he can change your life. My friend, tonight, I trust that as the Lord Jesus has drawn you, even in a place like this, that his presence may have exposed your sin, your uncleanness, and exposed that uncleanness, not to destroy you and to judge you, but he's exposed it tonight, that he might cleanse it, that he might cleanse it. He doesn't want you destroyed, he wants to deliver you tonight. He's the great deliverer. We preached on that last night, didn't we? He came to deliver. He came to set at liberty. Oh, my friend, he's the great deliverer tonight, and he'll deliver you if you'll simply call upon him. Let's pray. Oh, Jesus, Father, we just bow again in thy presence, and we do thank you for the solemnity of the gospel. We think of the searching, powerful words of God that would really go right into the depths of a man's being. And God, we pray that it might have done that tonight. And that there might have been folks that have come into the meeting tonight quite complacent. And just here, oh God, to pass 3/4 of an hour. But we pray, oh God, in the presence of the Lord, that they might have been challenged, convicted, exposed for all their uncleanness and their sinfulness. And we pray, oh God, that as their uncleanness has been exposed tonight, that they might have cried out for mercy. And we thank you for that mercy that's available. We thank you for the power of the blood that's available to cleanse tonight. And we pray, oh God, that some in the meeting tonight would just experience, have that joyful experience of having their sins washed, cleansed in the precious blood of Jesus. So, oh God, we ask that they would take honour and glory to thy name in the salvation of sinners tonight, the cleansing of unclean, as we ask it in the Saviour's name.